United States against Cheshire. Mr. Daisy.
Good morning. I'm Bill Daisy. I represented Diego Cheshire at trial, and I do so on appeal. As the court knows, it's a direct appeal from convictions involving six bank robberies and four 924C gun charges, and as the court recognized in advance, netting Mr. Cheshire a total of 1,083 months in prison. Five of the six bank robberies, Mr. Cheshire confessed, left his fingerprints at the scene, and was identified from photo spreads by tellers. He confessed to carrying a weapon in one of the four 924C gun charges, leaving very narrow grounds for trial and appellate advocacy. And so I follow the same grounds followed at trial, arguing largely that the evidence presented to the jury was insufficient to support convictions for the three 924C allegations, which he did not confess to.
Your basic point is just knowing that it's a real gun isn't enough to know that it's capable of firing a projectile?
That is precisely the point. That is, looking at other reported decisions and just common knowledge of life, bank robbers rob guns with replicas, and they rob them with toys, and they rob them with air pistols, and they rob them with BB guns.
One problem for you, however, is that your client asserted to the tellers that he had a real gun.
By way of a banknote.
Which he was going to use. So the appeal depends on the proposition that as a matter of law, no reasonable juror could believe me. Right?
To the extent that the demand notes recited, I will shoot, I have a gun, that was a point to... I'm sorry?
I'm going to kill you.
I'm going to kill you, yes. Demand notes don't say, give me the money, or I'm going to give you a big kiss, or I will shower you with scented water. Demand notes threaten violence.
No, actually, a quite surprising number of them just say, this is a robbery, give me the money. If that's what leads to disputes about whether particular language in the demand note leads to the increase for an express threat of death. Your client got the express threat of death increase.
Yes, of course.
Because there was an express threat of death.
Yes.
And that was going to happen only if these were real functional guns.
Well, I would say
I can understand how you can argue to the jury, my client is engaged in hyperbole. But to say that as a matter of law, no reasonable juror could believe that the bank robber was telling the truth when he told the teller he had a real gun, would be quite an extraordinary proposition.
Well, I argue that extraordinary proposition to the court today, and I do so, I guess, on that principle, that demand notes threaten violence. The point the court makes was raised with the district court at the time the motion for judgment acquittal was raised, and I believe the district court relied expressly on precisely that point in denying the motions. I would argue to this court, the demand notes, the fact that a demand note threatens something bad if the teller doesn't give him money is not evidence from which would support a jury's conclusion that an object that looked like a gun was indeed a firearm as defined by statute.
But you do agree that the jury had, at a minimum, two pieces of evidence before it in each of these three instances. One was the testimony from the teller in question. Actually, some of these people sounded rather knowledgeable about guns to me, but some of the testimony that they believed that what they were looking at was a gun, a real one. You know, it wasn't electric orange or, you know, the colors of some of these toy things. And the second was his own statement that, yes, indeed, I do. What you're looking at, you know, what I'm showing you is, in fact, a real gun, and I'm going to use it on you. And that combination of testimony is what the jury used. And it seems to me we have plenty of cases in which we've allowed that before.
You have Boggs and you have Moore within this circuit that have looked expressly to other factors other than a lay witness looking at an object and saying it looked like a gun to me. The argument that I make to the court is that it is expected that a bank robber carrying something other than a firearm, something that looks like a firearm, would pretend that it was a firearm in order to achieve his goals. that it is not unreasonable to expect that a bank robber robbing a bank with an air pistol or a BB gun or a replica is going to do something to intimate to the teller that he's carrying a real gun in order to accomplish his goals. And that a line has to exist somewhere, I submit, where a witness looking at an object that looks like a gun says, it looks like a gun to me, is sufficient for a 25-year 924C consecutive whack. I looked, out of idle curiosity, I looked at the BOP website Friday to see what Diego's projected release date was. It's June 1st, 2079. With that in mind, I would address briefly the Eighth Amendment argument. Obviously, I do not expect this court to find that the legislative scheme here constitutes cruel and unusual punishment here at the turn of the century. The court has already said it doesn't.
And I don't see how it could. There's no inhumane punishment for any one crime. It's just that your client has committed so many crimes that the total adds up. But I don't see how there could be a constitutional principle that after you've committed your fourth bank robbery, there can't be any more punishment for the fifth or the sixth. It wouldn't. Where would we get that out of the Eighth Amendment?
There are these cases bubbling out on the West Coast, Andrade, and its progeny.
Yes, you're speaking of the cases, perhaps, on which the Supreme Court granted certiorari this morning.
Those would be those
three strikes cases where the third strike is, you know, the defendant hits somebody with a pillow, which was a crime, and he's now being sentenced to life for assault with a pillow. But no matter how they come out, and the fact that the Supreme Court has granted certiorari to review a judgment of the Ninth Circuit tells us something, this ain't that. Armed bank robbery is viewed in most circles as a serious crime.
It's almost axiomatic to look at a case the Supreme Court has granted cert on to determine that it probably came out of the Ninth Circuit. But I would say I have no way standing here at the turn of the century to know whether I'm looking at a little hiccup out there in California soon to be squashed, or if I'm looking at an age, perhaps, where the boundaries of legislative authority are somehow bounded by common mores, and that those mores may change over time. The concept of what's cruel and unusual, what's unusual, may be a lot different in 2050, at a time that Diego may be looking for further review of his case, and I don't want to be the lawyer that waived that issue effectively by not raising it before this court. Fanciful, I think, was a concept.
What happens in 2050 won't work, given the one-year statute of limitations for filing a collateral attack.
We stand here having to decide what's fanciful and what's not. What could possibly be getting some play in other parts of the country, and I raise those issues. The Zeal issue, I don't argue before this court. Three justices decided it was a good argument. My judgment is that makes it not fanciful. And so I'll reserve some time, perhaps for rebuttal. I thank the court for its attention.
By the way, did your client testify in this case?
The client was among the 95% that did not testify and was convicted anyway.
Okay. So we don't see this.
Yeah. <Who's bad?
laughs> Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Susan Dowd. I tried the case. I wrote the brief in this case, and as Your Honors have already noted, there was a lot more evidence than just the testimony of the witnesses. Who, as Your Honor pointed out, the witnesses who testified saw the guns up close. Most of them said they were familiar with firearms. Saw the objects asserted to be weapons up close. Had some familiarity with firearms. Each was very certain that they saw a gun. Each was cross-examined extensively by Mr. Daisy and did not waver in their claim that they saw a firearm. In addition, as Your Honors have noted, there were demand notes which said, I will shoot. There were two different cases where the defendant either said, I will shoot you or I will kill you. He admitted that he had a gun to the agent, and in one of the robberies said he couldn't remember in another one of them. So there was, the government contends, more than sufficient evidence for the jury to have found beyond a reasonable doubt that what the defendant in fact possessed was a firearm. unless Your Honors have any further questions of me, I believe everything is argued in my brief.
Thank you, Counsel.
Thank you, Your
Honor. Anything further, Mr. Daisy?
I believe nothing to rebut, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. We thank you for your assistance on both sides. The case is taken under advisement. The court will be in recess until tomorrow.
Yeah, I think it's not familiar with the case.
Okay.